It's also 35 now in Keene. In Nashua, it's 34. In Portsmouth, it's 37 degrees. I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Progress. Webster's Dictionary defines the word as a forward or onward movement or a gradual betterment. And generally, when we use it in our everyday lives, it's a positive word. We made progress on a project. We progressed to another grade in school. We see how far we've come with cars and computers and longer lives and think that progress has not only made our lives better, but that it's inevitable. And that years from now, progress will take us to places that we can't even begin to imagine. But according to historians, this idea is a modern one. Pre-modern civilizations saw life not as going forward, but in a more cyclical way, where gains were erased by disaster, decline, and collapse. Early Greek and Roman cultures saw progress as a way to forward only the arts and sciences. Early Christians saw the sole goal of progress as a way toward eternal life. But as advances in industry, astronomy, and science boomed in Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries, so did the idea of progress as a one-way route to better lives. Then in the 20th century, some began to see the downsides of these advances, like World War, Holocaust, atomic weapons, and depleted natural resources, and asked if it's possible for progress to progress too far. Today, the Socrates Exchange returns, and we ask the question, what is progress? Exchange listeners, tell us what you think. Can we define progress? Does progressing in certain areas like science and technology harm the progress of, say, religion or morality? Do horrific tragedies like the Holocaust and the atomic bombings of Japan teach us that progress has its limits? Or is there something about these tragic events that still help us progress? Get Socratic. Join our conversation. Our number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And our philosopher for the hour is Nick Smith. He's an associate professor of philosophy at UNH and an advisor to us on the Socrates Exchange. And Nick, it's really, really nice to see you. Thanks for coming back.
Good morning, Laura. Nice to be here.
Well, what are some of the big questions that we keep coming back to, Nick, when we look at this notion of progress? You start to see some of the same questions percolating up each time.
Yeah, this is a fascinating question, and you'll see it synthesizes a lot of our discussions from previous shows, because when you think of human history, say human global history, there's a tendency to think that we're all going forward together in some positive way, like we're all on a train on a track going to some good and happy place. And that's a rather modern notion that's only a few hundred years old, that was spurred on by world-transforming advances in astronomy and the sciences. And we sort of rode that train for a couple hundred years. And by the 20th century, we were having a bit of a hangover from that sort of fast ride towards progress, and starting to wonder, given the 20th century is most sort of temporally advanced, right? It's the most recent, but then again, it's filled with global war, genocide, environmental destruction. And then you add to that that the whole story of progress starts to smell a lot like a story told by wealthy Western Europeans to justify what they do, right? So that the progress story starts to look more like a story of, well, we who have the power and money are the most progressive, and you barbarians need to be colonized, civilized, enslaved, exploited by us. So there's, the very idea of progress is now really contested and thrown in the question about whether it's real or just a kind of ideological weapon.
So this is a modern philosophical debate, and it's changed over the years. That's really interesting.
Yes, very much. And contemporary studies, there's a real, even as researchers address this question, a real conflict about whether the idea of progress and enlightenment is sort of undeniably, obviously true, right? I mean, human lifespan has doubled more or less globally in the last 100 years, and it seems kind of undeniable in one respect. Yet, from the sort of larger sort of social, political, and also the cosmological scale, it looks like, is this just kind of a, have we been watching too many Disney programs and we sort of expect history to have a happy ending, when in fact that's just sort of a fantasy?
Well, again, it's the Socrates Exchange today, and the number for you to join us with your thoughts on this question, what is progress, is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Some of the questions to think about: how do we define progress? How do we measure it? Is progress inevitable, as Nick was saying, or is there always a push-pull aspect to this, that progress in one area might mean a lack of progress in another area? Let's hear what you think, 1-800-892-6477. And I want to remind you that as you call in, the Socrates Exchange is a little different from our regular exchange programs. Most importantly, Nick Smith is a philosopher. He's not a progress expert, so he won't be providing answers to this question, what is progress, but instead asking you more questions and getting all of us to open up our thinking through this questioning. So when you call, stay on the line, get Socratic with us, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Nick, up first is Vanessa, calling from St. Anselm College. Hi, Vanessa. What do you think of this question? What is progress?
Hi. Well, my personal belief about progress is that it starts really on the individual level with being able to be a responsible person, but progress is really a concept that applies to a global issue, that it cannot just be one nation that's progressing because of certain advances. But looked at on a global scale, you can see how instances where technology has left some countries in the dust, and you can't have progress with half of or three quarters of the nation in severe poverty. And as prideful as we can be as a nation, it's also bittersweet to look at the rest of the world when you think of progress. And I don't think that until we do something about the global issues that we can say that we're a very progressive nation.
Excellent. You've hit on a bunch of really important questions. Let me tease out the first one. You made a contrast and a parallel between individual progress and global progress. And let's tease on that for a second, because in some sense it seems obvious, right, that if you compare, say, your own self at say 18 years old with yourself at say 5 years old, it seems obvious that you've made progress in all sorts of ways, right? And that are undeniable, right? You know that certain things are not true, and you've learned other things, and you've kind of made personal progress. Is it the same? Can we talk in the same way on a global scale, that sort of just like you sort of learn and make progress in your life and kind of undeniably know more than you did before, that we can say this? Should we think in the same terms with individual progress and global progress?
I think progress is one of those tricky words that can't be applied to very many different things without it losing its meaning. So personal growth to me, like a child growing and learning and adapting and assimilating their new knowledge, can be applied to progress on the greater sense, but there really is no progress unless you're not just thinking about yourself.
Good. So if you were to define global progress, given that this concern you have for global justice and global poverty, what would be that benchmark? How would we measure global progress, say, versus personal progress? How would you know that you've achieved some global progress?
I feel like global progress is really a result of really just communication and connection and belief and understanding that we are all humans in the end. And I don't think we've actually made the progress to understanding that we really need to work as a whole. And with all of these international issues and just almost selfish decisions and various things like that really just take away from a pride that certain people have in just being a humane human being.
So do you think that if we're heading towards some destination, and would we be sort of definitively completed progress, say, if we have complete global equality? Is that the benchmark that we should measure progress in terms of global equality? Is that what it is for you?
I think progress isn't like an end point. I think progress is when you really see those things come into effect, when you see people reaching out to people who aren't as privileged when you see equal opportunity. And I don't think those issues are ever going to be fully complete as more people are born on this earth and growing. So progress is really, I think, a lesson that people learn about the world, and I think we'll see in the end if that's very good.
Well, Vanessa, you're at St. Anselm College, and it's kind of a big day down there, isn't it?
It is.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, it's the hype, hosting young philosophy enthusiasts, and we're all just gathered. We have about 13 different schools here, 12, and we're mixed up, and we're talking from different backgrounds, different levels of experience, and really discussing what progress means to us.
Well, thanks a lot for calling in, Vanessa. I appreciate you kicking it off with us today on the Socrates Exchange.
Thank you.
Again, our number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. It's the Socrates Exchange today. My co-host is Nick Smith, Associate Professor of Philosophy at UNH and advisor to us here on the Socrates Exchange. And Nick, to you too. She mentioned the Hype Conference at St. Anselm College today. You're going there right afterwards. Again, hosting young philosophy enthusiasts. It's a neat program that lots of listeners may not know about.
Yes, I'm making a quick appearance, hopefully mostly to stay out of the way while these 200 or so high school students discuss the philosophical issues surrounding progress. It's an incredible program.
Yeah, and you're going down there, and they're going to be looking at this all day. So it's a part of this expansion of bringing philosophy, not just at the college level, but down to the high school
level.
Yes,
it's an annual conference now.
Right, and high schoolers probably approach these things a little differently than college students.
Yes, they're incredibly sophisticated. It's really marvelous to watch how they engage with fresh eyes, not sort of encumbered by a lot of our biases.
All right. Well, coming up after a short break, get Socratic with us. We'll take a lot more of your calls. Again, the question we're asking this hour on the Socrates Exchange is, what is progress? How would you address this question? Is progress always relative, like Vanessa said? Is one person's progress always dependent upon someone else's lack thereof? Can there be, as she asked, universal progress for all? Also, another question we might explore, should progress at some point be stopped? And who's to say what that point is? More of your calls after a short break, 1-800-892-6477. Stay with us for more Socrates Exchange.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members. Support also comes to us from Nobis Engineering, an employee-owned company with a 23-year legacy of collaboration, responsiveness, and community involvement. Information at nobisengineering.com. And the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen Retail Galleries in North Conway, Hanover, and Meredith, featuring fine handcraft that represents the spirit of the maker. Information at nhcrafts.org. More of the Socrates Exchange and what is progress on the exchange on NHPR, then at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show. It's the Friday News Roundup. New Hampshire weather today becoming partly sunny, highs ranging from around 40 in northern New Hampshire, ranging to 50 in southern parts of the state. Tonight, clouding up most of the state, extreme southern New Hampshire could see a few snow showers by morning, lows tonight from 25 to 30. Partly cloudy in the north country, lows there near 30 degrees. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today it's our Socrates Exchange, where we examine one question using the Socratic method of asking more questions. And today we ask, what is progress? My co-host is Nick Smith, Associate Professor of Philosophy at UNH. And Nick, let's go right back to our callers. And this is Ray in Suncook. Hi, Ray. You're on the air. And let's get your thoughts on that question. What is progress?
Well, I think that progress is a good thing generically. I think we want to try to have safer and more productive lives. I mean, things are so complicated in the world we live in, which is sort of the flip side of it. It's sort of, we don't always know what happens when we open up Pandora's box. I was listening this morning to the radio, I think in NHPR, and it was about the issue of the government-wide review of science and whether or not some things are going to have to be done in secret and with greater restrictions, like if we start tinkering with the bird flu, what happens if mutated versions get out into the environment?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a great connection. Go ahead, Ray. Yeah.
Well, and the whole issue that you did in the teaser about what about nuclear weapons? I mean, once we played with the atom, look what happened. So,
Ray, let me ask. you seem to be a bit ambivalent about progress on the one hand versus, you know, progress leading us, sort of progressing towards our destruction. Does this make you suspicious that progress in general exists, or do you think it's rather obvious that humanity is progressing?
Well, I think I'm a Christian, and I think about the world through that lens quite often. And I mean, I think God has given us a brain and abilities and gifts to use out in our world and to hopefully make the world a better place. I mean, I don't think we have our brains and the creativity to just sit. So I think, you know, we are a curious creature, you know, humans. We develop tools. You know, if you look at the archaeological record and the historical record, I mean, we tried to move forward. I mean, Gutenberg, you know, producing the Bible, you know, with the movable type. I mean, that to me is huge progress. It gives, you know, the people the ability to know things that they wouldn't otherwise, you know, and, you know, the telephone, the computer. I mean, the world all around us, you know, fertilizers let us, you know, get more out of the land that we would otherwise. I mean, you can see all of that as things, evidence that progress is a good thing.
Good. Do you think from a Christian perspective, you think of ultimate, say, we'll call it cosmological progress, like progress in the sense of, you know, when all is said and done at the end of the world and the end of humanity, do you think as a Christian you view that march towards a happy ending differently than, say, an atheist?
Well, I think I look at it somewhat differently than an empirical capitalist, for example. I think that we have a moral responsibility to care for our neighbors. And I know that in some of the debates in the presidential primaries, there's been discussion as to whether or not someone without health care, you know, should be allowed to die. And, if they don't have insurance. And, you know, one of the audience members, when Ron Paul was asked that question, I forget which debate out of all of them they had, you know, shouted out, yes. I mean, I think progress and the accumulation of wealth and all of those things, you know, generically aren't a good or a bad thing. I mean,
good, yeah.
They're a good thing.
Let's try to put it in these terms. Can you, because it's tempting as a Christian to think that, right, ultimate progress would mean something like 100% of, right, souls saved, or something along those lines, right? That we are marching,
yeah,
towards more, right, more
yeah,
saving of souls. And if we,
sure,
think of, say, you know, in 2012, we may look like we're actually, right, we've achieved less progress compared to, say, you know, 1512, right? In terms of if the goal is to, right, maximize the percentage of saved souls, then are we making progress, right, in that respect from a Christian perspective, right? We may actually be, right, from a Christian perspective, a civilization in decline, which is clearly something you hear amplified in the Republican presidential primaries, right, that we're heading in the wrong direction, and that wrong direction has a lot to do with becoming, right, less Christian. Do you think you have to see it that way as a Christian?
Well, I'm also a liberal Democrat, so I don't necessarily agree that one particular stripe of Christianity is more or less Christian. Some of the beliefs and policies and choices that government makes, because now we've crossed and mixed religion and politics together, and a decision to cut a budget, it means that, for example, parents in abuse and neglect cases in New Hampshire aren't to have, you know, an attorney. You know,
it's financial progress. You know, the budget is balanced.
If we want to keep our eye on the ball, or if you're a Christian, if the real ultimate goal of progress is saving souls, right? Shouldn't right? All decisions be measured in those terms, right? Everything else is distraction.
Well, Ray, it's great to have you, and thanks for being with us. And let's go to another one, Nick. This is Jeremy at Spalding High School. Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead. Okay, Jeremy isn't there. Again, the number here on the Socrates Exchange for you to get Socratic with us on this question, what is progress, is 1-800-892-6477. And how about John in Amherst? Go ahead, John. You're on the Socrates Exchange, and what do you think of the question?
Oh, good morning, Laura, and good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Good morning. I am an adult philosophy student at Boston University.
Oh, good for you, John.
Yeah, I've sort of gone back to school. And I'm taking a course called Philosophy of Biology, which is fascinating in an area in philosophy that I've never studied before. And one of the readings that we, set of readings that we did was, you know, looking back at the evolution of the human mind and of human beings as a species. And, you know, from that perspective, looking back 10, 15,000 years, it's undeniable to me that we have progressed as a race from being, you know, living in clans and getting better at hunting animals and gathering food of the right kind, to forming larger aggregates of communities and domesticating animals and evolving the ability to digest lactose from farm animals like cows and goats, which apparently we didn't really have that capability early on. So, I'd just like to take a longer range view and say it's unquestionable that we have evolved, and a large part of our evolution now depends on enculturation and education, the knowledge and the learning that's passed down from one generation to the next.
This is great. Now let me. So there are different candidates. So when we talk about progress, people might think different things drive progress, right? So what's the motor that's pushing this train towards something good? And some people might say it's God. Some people might say it's reason. You're saying it looks to you obviously like evolution. And can you tell me what is evolution ultimately aiming for? If there's a happy ending here, or if we're progressing towards something ultimately, what is evolution aiming toward? And let me just sort of add on to that question. Is humanity even at the end of that conclusion? Are we still around at the end of evolution? Because it seems like in a lot of ways, evolution happens kind of regardless of humanity. And right, if you believe in evolution, humans came from something,
right?
And something is probably going to surpass us.
Right.
And from my perspective, that's not a very happy ending.
That's true. And I mean, I think there's a real possibility that we could exterminate ourselves by poisoning the earth and the water. If not through nuclear war, and that threat seems to have largely been put away. We still have far too many nuclear weapons in the world, and then I hope to God that they're never used.
Let me sharpen that a bit. I mean, do you think evolution is synonymous with progress?
On the human scale, I think so. I think that evolution is now, it's gotten to the point of dominating nature and overcoming a lot of the survival issues. I think now it's up to us to make, you know, make our world safer and more livable for everyone, and to engage in furthering science and in furthering our understanding of one another. I don't believe we can all progress at the same rate, and that's maybe something we should note, is that it's a big planet, and cultures evolve and progress at different rates.
So is it fair for me to say that, and I mean this sort of, it's kind of a leading question, but if evolution leads towards the ultimate extinction of humanity, is that progress?
No.
And why not?
No, because I think that human beings are now in a position to basically take responsibility for the planet and all the life that's in it. You know, I think it's kind of up to us to safeguard the future of ourselves and of the planet. And
and evolution could be better off without humans. Right? The planet could be better off without humans, conceivably.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it at that, John.
Well, that's true.
Thank you very much for getting Socratic with us today.
Thank
I appreciate
you very
it.
Much. I've enjoyed talking with you, Nick.
All thank right. you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's the Socrates Exchange today. The question we're pondering, what is progress? And Jeremy is back from Spalding High School. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
Let's get your thoughts on that question. What is progress? Go ahead.
I think that the point of progress would be to eliminate problems. And the problem is that as we progress, we end up creating new ones.
Ah, okay. So there's a kind of
it's like a yin and yang to it, right?
Good.
Means a problem.
Good.
I
mean, let's push on it in this respect, right? So it's you know the more we progress, if you know progress is kind of solving problems, and every time you solve a problem, you create a new problem. This raises a bunch of questions regarding what we can think of as progressivism. Well, we'll think of this in a non-political sense, but it clearly has political resonance. Progressivism versus conservatism, meaning, right, if you want to conserve things, you sort of, right, you keep things more or less the way they are, right? You sort of, you know, a bird in the hand, a known quantity, this is the way things are, versus progressivism, where you sort of, you know, try to fix things, try to head in a progressive direction, and then all these new things end up exploding in your face, and there's an unknown. And do you think that if progress has this sort of dark side, that we should err towards more conservatism, sort of keeping things the way they are and not being so, we almost have a fetish for progress, right? We want progress no matter what. Is it maybe better to slow down and not be so infatuated with progress?
Well, I'm not saying that trying to solve old problems is a bad thing. Like, I'm not trying to say that we should stay in one spot, but I'm just saying that as we solve old ones, we create new ones. So it's kind of just a cycle, sort of a paradox. We feel like we're moving towards something better, but really we're not.
And are there ever times when we should just not even try to move forward, right? Because the set of problems we might open up are so big that we should just stop, say, for instance, with, you know, biotechnology or things like this. Like, sure, we could cure all sorts of diseases, but there is also these unknowns and a bunch of very potentially even bigger problems that we shouldn't even, you know, solving one problem is going to open up bigger problems. Does that mean there are times when we should avoid progress?
I think that we shouldn't.
I think we lost Jeremy again. Jeremy, are you there? Okay. Well, thank you for being with us. And I'm sorry his phone cut out like that. You know, it's so interesting, Nick. It reminds me what you just said of a show we did about a week ago on sort of the end of life. And we've made incredible progress in keeping people alive longer. But sometimes that quality of life, you know, isn't very good. And it's so hard to know when to pull the plug. And it's connected.
Yeah, we also tend to think of progress in scientific terms because that's, in a way, the easiest. When there are much more complicated questions of, you know, morality, values, justice, and we seem to be, you know, need to be progressing on both ends, but it's much easier to think in scientific terms.
Let's take another one. This is Keel in Laconia. Keel, you're on the Socrates Exchange. What do you think of the question, what is progress? Let's hear from you.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Initially, I think that progress really starts at the basic humanity level. I mean, as humans, I think we're drawn to progress as a, I guess you could call it instinct, but, you know, we're really the first creatures to really act without instinct as a primary function level. I think it's all stepping stones. So you start with, you know, a base scenario where A, say, we'll use the example of a basic shelter, you know, situation A, you make a shelter and it doesn't seem to work, it leaks or it falls over and, you know, that's your result. Progress in that example would be, you know, making a better shelter, you know, to get to result B, where you have a secure home. I agree with a lot of the other callers, too, about, you know, say, like, Pandora's box and things like that. I agree with that, you know, realizing that you can fix or improve upon a scenario, making progress in that way, of course, is going to lead to the idea that you can fix any scenario you're in. You know, even from the basic of times, you know, we had basic needs that we wanted to fulfill, and unlike other creatures, you know, we actually had the means and the intelligence to really do so.
So you seem pretty confident that we are progressing.
Oh, of course.
And what do you use as primary evidence for that, given, say, you know, mass genocide, environmental destruction, Holocaust, all that? Why are you so confident?
Well, unlike some people, I believe that humans are absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think people really downgrade the idea of what humans are. I mean, yes, yes, we've trashed the planet. Yes, we have. That is very true. But on the other hand, we're the first creature to come out of this planet that can actually leave it. I mean, as selfish as it seems, you know, we are a creature that wasn't stuck on this rock. You know, we can actually leave. We, from the time we realized that inevitably we're doomed, because not if we don't kill ourselves or the planet, you know, the sun is going to engulf the planet itself. You know, we do have a shelf life, and no matter how many millions of years away it is, you know, we know that inevitably we've got to leave. We have no choice.
So your sense of the super awesomeness of humans and our super awesomeness is what drives our progress. Is it only humans that are able to progress? So does it, like, not make sense to talk about progress and, like, canines or earthworms? Or is it only humans that it makes sense to speak of progress in that way?
I think so, because I believe that, you know, animals and creatures like that, yes, they do learn, but it's situational. I mean, if you take dog A, which is raised by humans and is taught all these things and can do and has a job and can, you know, function perfectly and know what its purpose is in life, and then take dog B, who was never trained and left in a shelter and, you know, 5 years down the road knows nothing or knows, you know, there's a big difference. One is taught, but it's not instinctual. I mean, as humans, you know, we pass down things through folklore and through, you know, communicating with each other. Animals base things on instinct. They're not told they know how to survive.
Is it reason that distinguishes us, and is it reason that is the motor behind our progress?
I'd say reason. I mean, with our minds, we can, you know, we actually have the ability to reason things out. I mean, we can choose which is worth doing. You know, is it worth doing, you know, to say, we'll go back to progress, is it worth progressing in certain field A to improve life, or is it worthwhile to, you know, just let sit and be able to, you know, continue on as such?
Well, Keel, thanks a lot for being with us. Really appreciate
your
thoughts. Bye-bye.
I appreciate that.
All right, and again, the question we're pondering this hour with Nick Smith on the Socrates Exchange, what is progress? And we'll be back with more of your calls after a short break.
Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday, doesn't shy away from the big questions.
So does America need to produce more scientists and engineers?
Okay, let's talk about
signs of an early spring, that we humans have more in common with gorillas than we think.
And where does the dark energy live?
I'm Brady Carlson. Join me as I sit down with Ira to discuss scientific questions of all kinds. We'll be at UNH Durham on May 1st. For tickets and information, visit nhpr.org.
This event sponsored in part by NEBCO and the University of New Hampshire.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Nathan Wexler and Company, professionals working together as a team to provide businesses and nonprofits comprehensive accounting and tax solutions for over 50 years. And Vermont Academy, creating confident and independent learners from throughout New England and beyond since 1876. Information at vermontacademy.org. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Monday in The Exchange, the debate over New Hampshire's Stand Your Ground self-defense law. Send us your questions and comments before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us Monday morning live at 9 for that. Today, our philosophy series, The Socrates Exchange, returns, and we're pondering the question, what is progress? Let's get your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477. My co-host this hour is Nick Smith. And Nick, let's go to Justin. He's at Southern New Hampshire University. Hi, Justin. The question, what is progress? What do you think?
Well, in response to what an earlier caller said, where I think that we need to have a distinction between human progress and progress in general. The question of if humans evolve beyond being humans anymore came up, and that would be evolutionary progress, and that can't be disputed, really. But as far as humans go, that obviously wouldn't be very good for us. That said, I believe that humans have been progressing for several thousand years now without really an end goal in sight.
Do you need an end goal to talk about progress? Because it's like if I don't have some goal that I'm moving towards, right, some ultimate end point that I'm making, you know, incremental progress towards, if I don't have that, does it even make sense to talk about progress? Like what am I moving towards that's getting better? And does humanity have such a goal?
I think that humanity's goal as a whole is probably to increase the quality of life for everybody. And that's not to say that eventually we're all going to progress to the point that everyone is equal, but we won't have people struggling to survive anymore.
And why are you building in equality for everyone is the ultimate goal of humanity?
Oh, no, I don't think that equality for everyone is the ultimate goal for humanity. I think that's a completely unrealistic goal.
Good. So can you just articulate again, what is, if we need, you know, if humanity is going to talk about progress as a whole, we need something, some goal we're aiming towards. Is there such a thing?
Like I said, I think that increasing the quality of life would be that goal.
Oh, increasing the quality of life. So if just like one person on the planet can live forever and consume all the resources and everyone else sort of, you know, dies from, you know, starvation, that would be progress? Is that what you mean? So if we can perfect humanity for one person and everyone else is like, you know, just protein for that person.
No, I don't think that would be progress.
And why not? I mean, because then when you have like one superhuman and we've perfected the human and we've made ultimate progress for one human, but it, you know, requires billions of others to serve that one. Why is that not progress? Because it seems like scientific progress, but
the quality of life for the rest of the population wouldn't be.
Yeah, and why do we need that?
That would presumably be below where it is today.
Yeah, and why do we need that part? Because if we can sort of, you know, perfect whatever the, you know, the physiology and the science of humanity, isn't that like, you know, are we here to perfect the human, or are we here to perfect like all humans? Or, you know, why do we need sort of this moral justice part? Why can't we just talk about the sort of harder science bit of it?
I think that you definitely could make that case.
Because evolution, right, is in a lot of ways vicious, right? I mean, you know,
Absolutely. Certain,
you know, creatures evolve by sort of making others extinct.
It's interesting, too, you know, because Justin's saying, similar to what Vanessa said, that progress for just a small select group doesn't feel as good a progress as progress for all mankind. Is that what you're trying to get at, Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for being with us. Appreciate it.
Hey.
Bye-bye. And next up on the Socrates Exchange, Chris in Lebanon. And Chris, hi. Go ahead. You're on the air, and let's get your thoughts on that question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment on a previous caller who was cut off, actually, and you were asking if there should be an end point to progress, and if we should at a certain point stop for the sake of, you know, preserving humanity or the planet as a whole. And I think that brings in, you know, a whole other ethical part of progress that we haven't really been talking about as much. Progress for progress' sake doesn't really bring that question into account, I don't think. I think as a species, we definitely need to take into account the ethical implications of advancement for the pure sake of advancement, but that's not really part of the definition of progress alone.
Yeah, how are you distinguishing those, right? Because if we're speaking just in strictly evolutionary terms, right, the ethical bit is, you know, a bit trickier to build in. I mean, so is it evolution that drives progress for you, or is it something else? What's the motor of progress?
Well, you know, I think that evolution is definitely a part of it, because as our species has evolved both physically and, you know, intellectually, we've been able to make advancements that, you know, are attributed to progress. But I think on that front, evolutionary progress doesn't really have that endpoint. But in terms of progress as a species, we have to bring in the ethical implications for human progress' sake, to preserve our species' progress.
And Chris, I'm so sorry. Your phone's really breaking up there, Nick, and I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry about that, Chris, but thank you for being with us. Did you want to just add anything else in there, Nick, other questions that Chris's thoughts brought up for
you? Well,
we
were teasing out the difference between, you know, it's coming up in a few callers, the difference between just, you know, in a way, the dog-eat-dog of evolutionary progress versus this sort of undercurrent of, right, if it's just evolution, it seems to open this door to all kinds of inhumanities, right, and injustices and destruction, that it, until we have both the sort of the, we'll call scientific progress parallel, running parallel to some kind of, right, moral just progress, right? If progress isn't just, does it still make sense to talk of it in terms of progress?
Right. And some people see, a lot of people see cell phones as progress, but they do tend to sometimes blink out on us like yours did, Chris. I apologize for that. Let's go next to Debbie in Grafton. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead. What do you think of the question we're looking at today? What is progress?
Well, I think progress is created by, there's like a almost an inherent level of dissatisfaction in our DNA, so that we can't accept status quo. I mean, we just can't sit still and let things not happen. It's like, you know, doing the dishes, and we don't especially care for the way we do them, so we create a dishwasher. So I think there's just a level of dissatisfaction in our in built in our DNA that creates progress, and it's not necessarily a negative thing, but it can be. And so we use trial and error to, like, get past the errors of the progress. Like, if we create something like the DDT pesticide, we see that it works, and then we see it has some fault. So then we try to fix it because there's a problem.
Good. This is a really powerful set of issues for me. And let me ask a question in this way. It seems like there's a tension between our drive to progress, which is in a way a kind of drive to change things, a drive to improve things.
Mm-hmm.
It's in tension with our ability to appreciate things, right, and to be grateful for things, because we're always looking at things with an eye towards making them a little bit better, which creates a potential real state of dissatisfaction, right?
Right.
I mean, we're driven to improve things. Do you think that we should ever err more on the side of appreciating and being grateful rather than trying to always improve things? Or does that desire to make progress and improve things, should that always trump sort of a passive appreciation for things?
I think personally we struggle to balance it. I think we struggle to appreciate what we do, yet inherently down the road we tend to get like dissatisfied with the stagnancy of that. You know, I think it's why people rearrange their houses constantly or their yards. Or I even think, to go this far, I think that that's what's created so many religions just looking for purpose in life because of the dissatisfaction with the status quo. I think that's created all the, you know, the type of religions and stuff like that.
How do we differentiate between, say on a practical level, whether it's, you know, being satisfied with the home you live in versus being satisfied with the state of global inequality, right? How do we differentiate between the sorts of things we should just, right, insist on progress, say in gender racial relations, right? Insist on progress versus sort of, you know, appreciating what we have and being kind of happy and content and not insisting on progress. Is there any way to differentiate between that, or are we just kind of
doomed that's to guilt? What I'm saying. I think it's inherent in our DNA. I don't think we can help ourselves. I don't think we can help but be dissatisfied with inequality. You know, obvious, because you see all those type of systems usually break down, and sometimes they're replaced with something better, and sometimes they're not. And I just think we keep struggling forward. And I think it's an infinite process. I don't think there's some end point. I think this is an infinite process.
Good. So we're sort of doomed to dissatisfaction.
And
that's what drives progress.
No, but we need to accept that. We need to accept that level of dissatisfaction. And I think that is the key to saying, okay, I'm dissatisfied with something. I'm going to change it. Doesn't mean it's a negative thing.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling in, Debbie, and getting Socratic with us this morning.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I also like her point, Nick. We've talked so much about science and morality and technology, but we haven't really looked at this issue of, you know, progress in the arts and what is beauty, you know, progress in music and painting and so forth. So glad she raised that. And that's really in the eye of the beholder. I don't think we'll get into that right now.
But there's another show on that.
Yeah, yep. And it's good that she raised that. Let's go to Sue and Lee. Hi, Sue. You're on the Socrates Exchange. The
Hi.
Question, what is progress? What do you think, Sue?
Well, I just would like to say that I don't think anybody's commented on the cultural dimension here. I mean, we may have a number of ideas about what progress is in our society, often linked to material improvements, but in other cultures, that totally may not be the case. For instance, somebody living in the New Guinea rainforest or something may have an entirely different conception of what might constitute progress. And then you get into real trouble when we, in our push to do good or push to help people, move in and try to, quote-unquote, help, but in fact do things that might harm that society because their idea of progress is not the same. And we don't really understand what we're doing.
Yeah, excellent. This gets us into the issue of the idea of progress and the idea of progress being used as a kind of weapon, right? Where, say, the powerful say that, well, our way and our lifestyle, that's mm-hmm. the progressive way. This is the modern way. This is the civilized way. And this is, in many ways, you know, what we call the progress narrative, where Western Europeans use that in South America and Africa
yep.
to say. Now, does that view on your does that lead you to think that progress in its entirety is a kind of myth, that it isn't really real, but it's just this idea that gets used by the powerful to justify and impose their way of life, so that you're really a skeptic about progress altogether?
Just if we were trying to define it, progress is what within a particular culture may better protect and help people live better lives.
Yeah, being subjective,
but,
right, Sue?
Yes, it is. And I don't think it crosses cultural barriers, especially when they're quite significant, like chasms, because people live in an entirely different way than we do.
So you doubt that there's some broad overarching end that all of humanity is aiming towards, and you're more comfortable with much more relative, local notions of progress, even if those, say, those customs, right? This is part of the conservatism, right? The culture may be, say, racist, sexist, and that might be, comfortable for them. But from our view, that's, barbaric.
Well, yeah, that is a problem. I wasn't thinking of it so much in terms of, there are cultures that just, I personally wouldn't want to live in for that reason because, women have no rights. But I think when we try to impose our concept of what's a good position for women on them, it's bound not to succeed. It just straight out. I mean, it's a long, slow process of cultural change, and I think we just need to expose people to different points of view without trying at all to impose it, because that always, engenders
a
backlash.
Is it that imposing is just a bad strategy, a bad means to the end of, say, all humanity is marching towards these goals of equality, justice, etc., but imposing it on other people is the wrong way to do it? So there really is these ultimate goals, but we just need a very cautious strategy in how we do it? Or is it that there really are no such ultimate goals for humanity, and that's just a kind of elitist mythology?
Yeah, it's tricky, especially when you talk about the fate of women in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah,
look at that and you go,
it's very tricky.
But go ahead, Sue.
I think, in terms of my beliefs, I certainly think that equality of all human beings is a goal. And if that counts as progress, achieving that, I would say that's a valid thing to strive for.
Well, Sue, thank you so much.
Progress.
Yeah. And you reminded me of yet another program we did that touched again on this idea of progress, Sue, our earlier conversation about duty to protect, the United Nations mm-hmm. doctrine that, there's universal human rights. Thank you so much,
right.
Sue,
You're
for
welcome.
Being with us. And, Nick, speaking of progress, we talked earlier about HYPE. Again, this is hosting young philosophy enthusiasts, big conference today at St. Anselm College. This is a 3-year-old project now. It's gone from a couple schools to more than a dozen schools. schools. Just what sorts of progress have you seen hype create around the appreciation and excitement of young people for philosophy?
Well, I think it's a powerful program that, you know, students in New Hampshire sort of voluntarily taking up philosophical issues. And, you know, philosophy is not a topic that's often taught in high schools. And to see such energy and enthusiasm percolate up so that I get first-year students at UNH saying, you know, they want to be philosophy majors and they're, you know, 17 years old. And to see that sort of energy and enthusiasm, and, you know, philosophy can in some ways be a scary undertaking because of, you know, the big questions that it asks. But to see the, you know, the youth of New Hampshire, as I like to say, you know, think free or die. it's really gratifying to watch this program unfold.
So you're actually seeing, you know, high school students that went through hype at the high school level now come up to your freshman level in college and say, yeah, I want to study philosophy, even in an era when we're all supposed to be studying, you know, computers and technology and business.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I know you're heading down to hype right now at St. Anselm College. So I really appreciate you taking the time out for us today, Nick.
Thanks, Laura.
That's Nick Smith, Associate Professor of Philosophy at UNH and an advisor to us on the Socrates Exchange. The Socrates Exchange will return in May as we wrap up our immigration series. We'll examine the question, what is an American? Stay tuned on that. Details coming up on that Socrates Exchange program coming soon. The Exchange and the Socrates Exchange are productions of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our interns are Ryan Lassard and Karen Goll. Our theme music is usually composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. Keith is also project director of the Socrates Exchange. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Kanoy.